as we enter the word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips. So, Father, I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. And secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of those who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further, pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. This morning we're going to continue our study in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Good illustration has come to me now. You know, let me use physical laws, for example. Like now, we know the laws of aeronautics. We know how airplanes fly, you know, and all of that. They didn't know that for hundreds of years, but we began in 1912 or something, the Wright brothers in America. Now, it would be folly for somebody now to go and say, well, you know, he knows that the airplanes fly now, but he wants to find out for himself, you know, a new principle of flying airplanes. So he now goes back to what people did in 1600, in 1700, that all failed, you know. And then he now tries to look, you know, to find out whether the law we have today for flying, whether he can do it better. He's a fool. Because that problem has already been solved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no point trying to listen to something else that, you know, in the so-called bid of being open-minded. When you open your mind, they put all kinds of dirt inside. No, I'm closed-minded to the Word of God. Amen. If it's not in line with the Word of God, I don't even listen to it. It's a waste of time. Waste of time completely. You know? Now, of course, if I hear something, I judge it by the Word of God, the part of it that is in line with the Word of God, I can learn from it. Like I said some time ago, even in nonsense, there's sense. You know, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time listening to nonsense, looking for sense. I'm going to spend a lot of time reading sense. Now, occasionally, if I hear some nonsense, I'll pick the sense out of it, but I'm not going to feed nonsense into my mind. That's what Paul is saying here. So he says, then the next statement is, awake to righteousness. You know, what does the word awake means? It means you are not conscious. You know, when you're sleeping, you're not aware of what's going on around you. So he says, awake, you know, become conscious of the right standing and the consequent right doing that you now have available in Christ Jesus. And so, sin not. In other words, don't continue to practice sin. And he said, some of you don't have this knowledge of God. You don't have this knowledge of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't have this correct, accurate knowledge of God. He said, and I speak this to your shame because this is Olubi Johnson paraphrase, because I've taught you. I'm talking about Paul now. He had taught the Corinthians. He says, you know, it's a shame that you should even be debating about the resurrection. It's a shame that you're not conscious of the fact that in Christ, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ by the blood of Jesus. You now have access to the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit by which you can now, you know, live a righteous life. You can now practice right doing. He says it's a shame. Some of you don't even have that knowledge. You're born again. Like I was sharing the other day, you know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but, you know, if the attitude is closed, you know, then the door between your spirit and soul is closed. So light cannot come from the spirit into the conscious mind. And that's why I said, you have, don't have the knowledge of God. You got God inside, but you don't have the knowledge of God up here. You don't have revelation knowledge. Your understanding is darkened. You're alienated from the life of God. And you're still walking, even though you're born again, in the vanity of your mind. He said, I speak this to your shame. And the same rebuke is true for us today. Many Christians are like this. They're not conscious of their righteousness in Christ Jesus. You know, and I'm not talking about legalism now. I'm talking about the pure, true righteousness. We're in right standing with God. The beautiful scripture, it's in Romans chapter 8. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That is, there's spiritual death in our physical bodies. But your spirit is life. That's what he's talking about. Because of right standing. Because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life to your mortal bodies. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. You need to have that knowledge. And not only as head knowledge, but as revelation knowledge and experiential knowledge that you are practicing every day. Not to have it is to your shame. I speak this to your shame. And sadly, we see the same thing today. Now, let's move on. In verse 35, Paul now says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Before I read the next verse, I want to take you down a path of this person's thinking. He didn't bother. I'm sure he knows some people's names, but he didn't talk about who their names were. He just says, some man will say, you know, people are like that. And this is how people think. This is how the natural man thinks. Because, see, the natural man only believes in what he can see. You take somebody who has died physically. You put him inside a coffin. Well, we do that today. In those days, they would just wrap them and push them inside a cave. You come after 4 years, 5 years, you know, the body is completely decayed. All you see is the skull and skeleton and some bones. You know, worms have eaten everything. By the time you come after 10 or 20 years, you know, there's really nothing there to see. So these now, the people are now asking that if people were raised from the dead, with what body will he come? Seeing that his body is already decayed, that's their thinking. Because they're thinking only in the natural. So Paul now says, thou fool. Not you. Amen. Unless you're not thinking properly. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive except it die. So Paul now uses a natural illustration to prove a spiritual truth. When we sow things like corn or maize or anything, the seed you put into the ground is not the one that comes out of the ground when it begins to grow. You put in a tiny seed of maize or what or some other fruit, the seed of some fruit. You put it in, you know. Then after, especially like some like beans, for example. I remember when we were kids, we used to grow beans. You know, at the back of the house, we did it in general science and all of that. You put it in an absence from which you see the green stalk, which comes up, does not look anything like the seed that you put inside. So he's using that metaphor. He's using that illustration to explain the resurrection. Yes, you put the physical body into the ground. Yes, it has decayed. Yes, but a new body that's different from the one you put inside the ground is what's going to come up. And then he said, thou fool. In other words, you're not thinking, man. If you just think a little bit, like this same Paul said to us in the book of Romans, he said, the invisible things of God, he says, they're clearly seen, How? He said, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, there is nothing in the spiritual you cannot understand by some corresponding analog in the natural. Some corresponding example. And this is how you explain the resurrection. Well, the resurrection is a resurrection. The resurrection is the fruit of the physical body that's sown inside the earth. You sow a seed, but the seed you sow is very different from the plants that comes up. So the physical body that you sowed is going to be different from the resurrection body that comes up. Give the Lord a super clap offering. And then give Paul, too, another clap offering. Beautiful illustration. And you can't fault the logic. When you sow, if you take beans, for example, you know, it's brown. Maybe you take a brown one or a white one. You know, you sow it inside the ground. After 2 or 3 weeks, what comes up is green. This, you see a small green shoot. And then it starts to grow. It's very different from the seed you put inside the ground. They're not the same. Now, I say that's how the resurrection is. The resurrected body is going to be different, you know, in texture and all of that from the physical body that you put inside the ground. And once you understand that natural illustration, it's very easy to understand the resurrection. Hello, somebody. You must understand, brethren, that the resurrection is a harvest of the seed of the life of God and the righteous and your right doing that you did while you were here on earth. It now does a transformation work upon the physical body. So the new physical body that comes up is superior to the physical body that died, that was sown inside the ground. Just like the if you take corn, for example, if you put corn into the ground, you get this green stalk. Then you still begin to have branches and all that. It's different from the seed. It comes from the seed, but it's different in the way it looks from the seed. And then it has a lot of those three seeds that you put in the ground. You now get it multiplied so many times. And that's the same illustration with the physical body. The physical body that you sow is sown in, watch this, we're going to get there in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself. It's sown either in corruption, that is, if you died physically and they buried you, or it was sown in mortality. But when it is raised up, it is raised in incorruption and is raised in immortality. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's raised different. It's the same thing, but the same shape and all of that. But the quality, the texture of the body is different. Glory be to God. Verse 37. He begins to explain what I have explained. You know, that's where I got it from. The meditations. He says, and that which thou sowest, I didn't hear you. Thou sowest not that body that shall be, what I was just telling you, bare grain, you know, like a corn or beans or something, you know, it may chance of wheat or some other grain, exactly what I was saying. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So you sow in it beans, you sow corn or rice or whatever it is you sow, when it begins to come up, it doesn't come up like, it doesn't look like the seed you sowed. Hello, somebody. All flesh. I didn't hear you. You know, he's trying to use natural things to explain spiritual realities. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Listen very carefully to what the apostle is telling us, the Holy Spirit is telling us through Paul. Even in the natural, the quality, the texture, the type of physical bodies of different animals are different. Okay? Look at our physical bodies. the men. You know, we have hair. We have some hair on our bodies, you know. And then our bodies, the texture of our skin is different from that of a lion or a tiger or a dog or, like he says here, you know, or fishes. If fishes have different bodies from mammals, you know, like goats and dogs and cattle and all of that, you know. And then even birds have different bodies. He's saying, just like you have different natural bodies, in the resurrection, you're going to have different resurrected bodies. Give the Lord a clap offering. Oh man, well, how beautiful. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. In other words, we have heavenly bodies, which in those days, Galileo hadn't yet come along, but they would use their eyes and they could see, you know, they would see that the sun is different from the stars, and then you could see different kind of stars. Well, that's where a lot of Greek and Roman mythology came up, you know, Mercury, and they look at all the planets, and then they say these are gods, you know, because one star, you know, shines brighter than another star. Even with the naked eye, you know, on a dark night, you can see that. Okay? So, he says, there are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Terrestrial means those on the earth. Then there are bodies in the heavenly. Celestial just means, that's where they got celestial church from. The devil is so, you know. Celestial bodies, heavenly bodies, are different from earthly bodies. Am I talking to anybody here? But the glory of the celestial is one. Where am I? There we go. And the glory of the terrestrial is another. In other words, the way heavenly bodies shine is different from the way natural, earthly, physical bodies shine. Their glory, their beauty is different. Now he goes on to say, there is one glory of the sun. Oh, hallelujah. And another glory of the moon. And another glory of the stars. Even back in those days, without telescopes and all of that, just by looking, you can tell how the moon is bright at night, but it's not as bright as the sun during the day. And then when you look at the different stars, you know, you find out some stars shine brighter than others. Hello, somebody. So now he now says this, beautiful. He says, there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star different from another star in what? Glory, brightness. Now, he goes back to the spiritual. He's trying to use physical things you can see. Now, he goes back to the spiritual and he says, so also. Oh, let's give Paul another clap offering. Hallelujah. What will we do without Paul? Is the resurrection of the dead. Just like you have different textures of the skin of men and animals and birds and fishes. Watch this. And different glories of the sun, the moon, and the stars. He says, so it is also in the resurrection. It is sown in corruption. I didn't hear you. It is raised in incorruption. Corruption is what happens when the body decays. That's why in Psalm 16, see, Jesus' body never decayed. Jesus' body, it was there for 3 days. You know, it was there on Friday afternoon into Friday night. It was there Saturday morning, afternoon, and night. It was there in the night, in early Sunday morning, you know, and before the sun rose up, he was raised from the dead. Now, his body never saw corruption. Thou will not allow thy Holy One to see corruption. His body never saw corruption. And we know that even today, that, you know, if you take a dead body, if you take it to anatomy or take it to a mortuary, even if you haven't taken it to a mortuary, 2 days, 3 days, the corruption, it's internal, but it hasn't started coming out. It's by the time you leave it for 3, 5 days, 6 days, you start beginning to see my God's son. And you know. So his body never saw corruption. So he's talking here, he said, this is wonderful. You know, he's sown in corruption, but he's raised in incorruption. He's explaining using that analogy that he used of the seed and what comes up. It is sown in dishonor. And when the people die, you know, their body is weak and, you know, and all of that. It is raised in glory. Hallelujah. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Hallelujah. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Give Paul another clap offering. Hallelujah. Wow. There are two revelations, Pastor Boyega. There are two different categories. Just like the grain of wheat, or the grain of rice, or the grain of beans that you sow in the ground. When the thing comes up, the texture of that green shoot is different from the one of the seed you put inside. So when the body is raised from the dead, the texture, the quality of the resurrection body is superior to the one that you put in the ground. Hallelujah! You know what? I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, and you should say it to yourselves, you know, I'm not going to miss my resurrection for anything. And here, you see the corroboration of what I've been teaching you, you know, about the, you know, types and orders and glories of the resurrection. For example, somebody who is resurrected with a physical body that needs the healing, the leaves of the tree of life for the healing, the texture is going to be different from someone who has a glorified body. They are resurrected bodies, but they're different. That's what Paul is telling us here. Watch this. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. All of them are bodies. One is natural, the other is spiritual. I'm going to get there in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself. The best example of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jesus they saw after the resurrection looked like the Jesus that died. His face was not different. Do you understand? His eyes were not different. Do you understand? You could recognize him. But the quality of his body was different. Glory be to God. He had flesh and blood before he died. When he was raised from the dead, he had flesh. He had bone, but he had no blood. He had glory running through his veins. It was, watch this, beautiful. It was a body that was a spiritual body, but could operate in the natural. It could walk through a door, just like the signal of your mobile phone can pass. That this mobile phone is working now, even though this place, you know, is covered, you know, and there's an MTN mast over here, a booster mast. It's transmitting. It comes through the roof, comes through the walls. You know why? Because, I mean, it's physics and engineering, but you know, it's because as far as that wave is concerned, there's a lot of gap in between the stone. It looks solid to you. But if you're at the microscopic level, moving at the speed of light, you can see holes in between. And that's, you know, for those of us who do basic science, you know that's true. You know, in basic elementary science, you know, just keep it simple. You've got a nucleus. You know, the nucleus is your protons and nuclear, you know, and neutrons. Then you've got electron. You have an electron cloud that is, you know, not really revolving, but it's a probability cloud, really. You know, but to keep it simple, let's just say it's going around. That's not really what's happening. But anyway, but there's space. The point I want to make is that there is a space in between the neutrons and the nucleus and the electrons. Now, that wave can go through that space. But you can't. You're too big. Technically, you can. But the wavelength of your body is minuscule. So it will interfere with it. It will scatter it. Don't let me go there. Praise the Lord. You know, that's why if you use an electron microscope, you're able to see things, you know, that you cannot see with a light microscope. The wavelength of the electron is much smaller than the wavelength of the light. So there are things the light can resolve. The electron can resolve, the light cannot resolve. Now you get to glorified body and start moving above the speed of light. You can go through anything. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Now, I want to bring something. I was with some family, you know, over the weekend and all that, and we're talking about God and all of these things. And I was talking about the importance of education. I said, education, education, education. You know, Paul couldn't write all of this if he wasn't a lawyer. What Paul wrote, John can't write it. They wrote something, but they couldn't write some of the thing because his mind was trained. What Moses wrote, because he was trained in architecture, he was trained in all the Bible says he was mighty in word and deed, in all the none of the Egyptians. If I didn't understand science, I couldn't explain what I explained to you. You see, to you and me, a person walking through a door is magic. And indeed, to you it is magic. But when you begin to understand that spiritual things operate above the speed of light and a higher level of energy, you know, and we know that because we know physics. Do you understand? It's now clear to us how Jesus could walk through a door. Because that body, that resurrected body, can operate simultaneously in the physical and in the spiritual. When it needs to operate in the spiritual, it just ups it up. Praise the Lord. That's the best way I can put it. He just increases the frequency, if you like. Amen. And then he's operating spirit, and then he goes through the door. Then he comes back, you know, when he comes through the door, he comes back to their frequency in the natural, and then he says, give me a bread, give me fish and a honeycomb. And he eats it before them. So the resurrected body has the ability to operate simultaneously in the spiritual and the physical realm. You don't want to miss that body. Because the people who do not receive a glorified body will only be able to operate in the natural. They will not be able to operate in physical. They will be able to operate spiritually. That's why they cannot go from planet to planet, from galaxy to galaxy, from universe to universe. They say multiverse, no problem. God can make many, many universes. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. You know, all these mathematicians and scientists, they think they're discovering something when they go into deep mathematics and begin to, they haven't observed it, but they can see from the mathematics that it is possible. You know, there's you know, because I'm a theoretical physicist, you know, there's new papers, they're not new, last 10 years or so, you know, that are looking at what happened before the Big Bang. They're now seeing that there must have been something. So they're now postulating that, maybe before the Big Bang, you know, the Big Bang was a product of some other universe, and now there's a Big Bang, and this one, when it ends now, there'll be another Big Bang. Well, the Bible says so. A new heaven and a new earth. Thank you. Multiverse. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's all there. It's all there. Amen. He says, you know, at the end that, you know, there's going to be a big crunch. And God's going to burn everything up. And then I create, you know, a big bang, then a big crunch, then a big bang, then a big crunch. And just keep making them like that. Oh. Hallelujah! But without education, you can't understand that. Without education, you can't understand that. That's why it says, being understood by the things that are made. So to understand, let's paraphrase this. To understand the things that are made, you need an education. The purpose of education is to train your mind to understand the things around you that are made. And it's without understanding, you can then understand their spiritual counterparts in the realm of the spirit. Without education, you don't understand the things that are made. So correspondingly, you cannot understand the things you don't see. So you call them witch, magic. That's why people are superstitious. But we, by the grace of the mercy of God, not us, but the grace of God, which we understand now. So I understand the spiritual body. Because operating above the speed of light. So it's operating on a higher level of energy than the physical realm. So it can walk through a wall. Then you can see me now, and if I just ramp up the frequency, so to speak, amen, I just disappear. You see, Jesus do that with the guys that on the road to Emmaus. You know, they're walking, they're talking about what happened. Suddenly he appears. They don't know that he just beamed down from heaven. Amen. So he hears them, says, what are you guys saying? And all of that. Then he teaches them the scripture. He goes home with them. They say, oh, eat with us. So he takes the bread. So they pray over the food. As their eyes are open, he suddenly disappears. He's moving above the speed of light. And suddenly, you know, they get up and say, surely the Lord is risen indeed. So they now, at that late hour of the night, they said, let's go to Jerusalem. They get to Jerusalem. They find Peter and all the other 12 guys, you know, well, minus Judas, you know, and the 11. And they begin to talk about that Jesus appeared to us and all that. As they are talking, he appears again. How many want that kind of body? Now, there's a price to pay for it. It's not automatic. You know, all Christians, that's why they're, you know, every man in his own order. That's why how you live now will determine whether you get a glorified body or not. You go to heaven, you will get a body, but will it be glorified? The Bible says, he that had this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And because it's not being taught, we've been sold a dummy. Now, oh, you're born again, you know, automatically you're going to, have a glorified body. Yes, we are all going to be resurrected. But every man in his own order. How you live now will determine the type, the order, and the glory of your resurrection. So that should motivate you to live in a clean and a holy life. So, thank you, Jesus. He says, he's sown a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Now, verse 45. So it is written. I didn't hear you. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made a quickening. That's old English. It means a life-giving spirit. Let me paraphrase this so you can understand it. That's the letter. Let me give you the spirit behind it. The first Adam was made a conscious personality. The last Adam was made a spirit that could give life to others. That's quickening. It means, you know, that could give life. Now, what happened was this. See, when Adam was created in the Garden of Eden, God made his physical body from the dust of the earth in 24 hours. That's a feat. You know, those of people who are brethren who did medicine will tell you the anatomy of this body, the bone structure, the muscles, the way they're all joined together, the tendons, not of the internal organs, the heart, the lungs, the liver, the pancreas, you know, the big intestine, the small intestine, and all the biochemistry of how the chemicals, you know, mixed together, you know, in order to make you, you know, physically strong. How the bones grow. And, oh, come on, let's give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. No wonder David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He had no idea of how fearfully and how wonderfully. Because at that time, they didn't even have DNA. They didn't know about it. It was there. But they didn't know about DNA. With DNA, we now understand that everything in the physical body has been programmed. It's a computer program. Hidden inside the nucleus of your cell. Another clap offering for the Lord. To me, as a mathematician, although I did physics, but we do a lot of maths, you know, and computer scientists, although I did physics, I did quite a bit of computer science and programming. I can appreciate, I showed this to us on the video some months ago, you know, what God did. There are 3 billion, I didn't say million, 3 billion lines of code in your DNA. I didn't say million. Just to help you, you know. Everybody knows 1,000. Everybody knows 1,000. Okay. Now, 1,000 1,000s is 1 million. So you count 1,000, count it one. Then you count it a second time. Then you count it a third time. Then by the time you count it 1,000 times, you get 1 million. Then if you take 1,000, you know, 1 million, then you count that 1 million 1,000 times again. 1,001, you know, one. You count up from 1 to 1 million. Then you count another 1 to 1 million. Then you do that 1,000 times, you get 1 billion. Then you now have a computer program written by God that has many lines. And each line, all the lines, when you put it together, that is inside the cell of your body, is 3 billion lines of code. Another clap offering. No wonder the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. See, if you don't know God, you talk stupid. You just, you know, man, just when you begin to know, look, this is the person that made all of that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? And all this thing, you know, Dr. Williams will tell you, you know, he does all this internal medicine and all of that, you know, all the hormones, the different chemicals, and the way they trigger themselves. This will, you know, something in your liver will trigger something, it will trigger another one, and it does it with precision. Another clap offering. I can't get over it. I cannot get over it. I'm telling you, I mean, when I just say, to God be the glory. 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 Hallelujah. All that is inside that your body. Now sit down, sit down. I haven't heard anything yet. All of that, he did it in 24 hours. Some people still want the mind of Christ. What kind of mental capacity and sagacity is that? He formed the man from the dust of the earth. Then the body was lifeless, you know, just like having, you know, a mannequin, a dummy, you know, it was just like that. All the finger, everything was made, you know. Then God now breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then he became a living soul. The God part, the spiritual part of God, was now breathed into that physical body. And then the man now became he now became conscious that he was conscious. He now became a conscious personality. That's what Paul is talking about here. He says, the first Adam was a living soul. He said, the last Adam became a quickening spirit. I'll explain that. What happened was, Jesus was here, the Son of God. He had the life of God in him. He ministered healing and life to people. Then he died. He died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he didn't only die physically, he died spiritually. His contact with God was severed temporarily for those 3 days. That's why I said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Early on what we call Easter Sunday morning, Jesus is raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit blasts his way into hell and he injects the life of God back into Jesus' spirit. And that's what raised Jesus from the dead. Then he spoils principalities and powers, takes from the devil the keys of death and hell. But the resurrection power that was wrought in him when he was now raised from the dead was what was now made available for men to get born again. So he now became a life-giving spirit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And the first person to get born again was John. John goes, John and Mary Magdalene, they just followed each other, but it was John first. John goes to the tomb with Peter. You know, he sees the grave clothes. The Bible says he saw and he believed. So life came in. Boom. Then Mary Magdalene stays behind. Then John and Peter go home. Mary Magdalene says she's crying. She's emotional, you know, like women are, you know, and all of that. Then Jesus, in his kindness, he appears to her. Initially, she doesn't know it's Jesus. His back is turned to her. So, you know, he says, Mary, she recognizes his voice. He said, Rabboni. He said, don't touch me. And what I said, so she believed too. Amen. So firstborn, John. Secondborn, Mary. And then the others. Praise the Lord. The others that evening. Amen. But from that time, from that fateful resurrection morning till today, 20,000 to 2023, millions, billions of men have been getting life from the life-giving spirit. Give life to, give God the all glory. A life, a quickening spirit. Howbeit, oh God help me. Howbeit, that which was not first. No. Let me read that properly. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. In other words, Jesus didn't come with a spiritual body. He was born of Mary. God, you know, fertilized the egg. Mary was the first surrogate mother. And then planted it inside Mary's womb. And then it just grew naturally. We do that today in IVF. You know, you can have a surrogate. If the husband and wife cannot have a child together, maybe the wife cannot carry the baby, you take the sperm of the husband, you take the egg of the wife in vitro, that is in a dish, you know, in the lab, it's biology. You mix the sperm and the egg together, and they form a zygote. That fertilized egg, you can take it through a surgical operation and put it in the womb of a woman who is neither the father nor the mother. They call them surrogate mothers. When you do that implantation, it's done, it's routine now. When you do that implantation, it attaches itself to her uterus wall. And it begins to grow just like any normal baby grows. And after 9 months, the surrogate mother will give birth to the child. The child is not the child of the surrogate mother. If you do the DNA and you do the blood test, it will be the blood and the DNA of the original father and mother whose sperm and egg that you used. Not that one of the surrogate mother. She was just a carrier. Mary was just a carrier. Jesus is the Son of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Son of God is literal. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh. That's the meaning. Again, see everything I've explained to you now, this can only be explained by education. Everybody say education, education, education. We are educated. If I didn't know surrogate mother, I didn't know biology, I didn't know, I can't explain this. You see how I was sharing with, I think it was Pastor Wig, you know, I can't remember who I was sharing. I said, do you see the Jews? God always made sure they were literate. If you grew up in the synagogues, they have to learn how to read the Torah and how to write. You don't have illiterate Jews. Because God knows the importance of education. I want us to give tribute
and honor to the missionaries. Everybody stand to your feet. Give them a super clap offering. The Mary Slessors, the David Livingstones, and a host of others we don't know until when we get to heaven. The Johnsons. You know, my sit down. My great-grandfather took the name of his white priest. They came to set up a Methodist church in Abeokuta. So my grandfather converted, my great-grandfather. He converted to Christianity and changed his name from the Yoruba name they used to have. I don't know what it is. I think my uncle wrote it in one of his books, but I really don't care because I'm not going to go back to it anyway. Praise the Lord. I don't believe in those kind of roots. Another message for another day. You know, my great-grandma changed his name to Johnson, took the name of the priest. That's how we're called Johnson. You know, that's why I mentioned him. You know, and not only us, there's so many like that. And when they came, it was God who gave them that wisdom. It was God. There were three things the missionaries did. The first thing is they would plant a church. Number two, they would do a hospital. Number three, they would set up a school. And they insisted, the British, they insisted, thank God we were colonized by the British. They insisted that the people had to have an education. So you see, God is so wise. We see the same thing playing out in Lyford. You know, he knows sometimes if you talk gospel straight to people, they won't be so attracted. But if you give him education and give him a better life, a better job, I'll give him more money, he will like education. So the first thing was he gave us education. Without education, we can't even read the Bible. We can't education, we can read it, we can't understand it, like I've explained to you. So the key to the gospel is education. My wife has been saying this over the years. Lyford, what God did, he put the gospel message and wrapped it in the package of education. So people don't come to Lyford because they want their children to become Christians. They come to Lyford because they want their children to have a good education. But when they now come to Lyford and get a good education, the ripple effect, glory be to God, is the life of God that changes the thinking of the children. We've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. It's the truth. It's a key. It's God knows it. God knew. Because many times, only after your mind has been trained and enlightened, you can appreciate what God is saying. How can you explain the virgin birth the way I've explained it if you do not know about biology, you don't know about surrogate mother, you don't have the knowledge of medicine and all of that? It's not possible. And there's so many. I just got a tweet from heaven. He said, you know what he just told me? He said, there's still a lot in there you don't know. And then I'm going to unravel in the next 10, 15, 20 years before Jesus comes. We are at the threshold of a new vista of knowledge. That's why I preached the other time about the humility and ability of the mind of Christ. There's so much. It was Isaac Newton who said this. Yes. He said this. When he discovered the laws of gravitation and mechanics and wrote that wonderful treatise, you know, on the principles of the natural world. He said, I'm like a little child at the sign on the seashore. And I've just been playing with some shells. And some sign. He said, but it's a vast ocean of knowledge that still lies before me. I'll tell you a truth. Those who think they know don't know. Those who know that they don't know will know more. It's a great truth. See, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. If you really know, the more you know, there's still so much more. There's still so much more. I'm going to close the next two verses and stop. So the first is natural. Jesus had a natural body.
that when he was raised from the dead, he got a spiritual body. Adam had a natural body created in the Garden of Eden. And when he is resurrected, he will have a spiritual body. So that's why Paul says, first the natural, afterward the spiritual. Then verse 47. The first man, I didn't hear you, talking about Adam, is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's Jesus after the resurrection. As is the earthy, I didn't hear you, such are they also that are earthy. That's those who are physical, made from the earth. We're made from the dust of the earth. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So just like we have had natural bodies from the first Adam, we're going to have spiritual bodies from the last Adam. Is this clear? Verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heaven. This is clear logic. This is a lawyer talking. He understands symmetry and logic. We brought the image of the earthly, so we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. It's a certainty. Like Daniel said of old, he said, the dream is sure and the interpretation is certain. It's logic. It's clear. Yes, I've got a physical body, but I'm going to have a spiritual body. Stand to your feet. Oh, we got to stop. Otherwise, you won't go away from here this morning. I am so excited. I'm telling you, nothing excites me more in Christianity than the resurrection. But the grace of God which is with me, I now appreciate Paul's mindset. I now know what he meant when he said, let this mind be in you. He said in another place, as somewhere in Colossians or Philippians, he said, don't let us mind earthly things. He said, for our citizenship is in heaven. When you really understand the resurrection and the revelation of it is in your mind, you stop living an earthly minded mind, love. You will live here. You will enjoy yourself, the blessings God has given you. But you will not hold on to it because it's so inferior to the heavenly life. You will pay any price. You will drop anything in order to get the heavenly. He says, any man who holds on to this life, he said, he will lose the other life. He said, but if you will lose your life, he said, you will get the other one. So many Christians are so earthly minded. And that's one of the great disservices the distorted prosperity gospel has done to the church, particularly in the last 40 or so years. We've so preached earthly. Everything is earthly. Healing, prosperity, and they're not wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But the Christianity goes beyond that. Far beyond that. And if you live only, and if in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all I'm living for is to get a new car and a new house and a wife and children and this and that, if that's all, then there's no difference between me and the unbeliever. No, I'm not living for that. I'm living to inherit a spiritual body. A body that will... I'm coming back to this earth. We're going to reign. I remember it was S.G. Elton. That thing was so much in his mind. S.G. Elton was an Englishman that God called to come to Nigeria, back in 1934. Yeah. And he came. Then his wife and daughter, Ma Elton now, she was only 3 years old. Can you imagine him living the comforts of England? And coming here, and I'm looking at 1934. I said that in our language, they're still doing all these masquerades, and there was a lot of demonic activity. But he came because God told him to come, and God protected him. He did not have the comforts he had in London. He came from a town called Shrewsbury. You know, just a bit outside England, you know. They have all those comforts. And he didn't stay here for 5 years. He stayed here for 50. He died here. Now, if all Pa Elton was thinking about was car and house, he would have gone back to England long ago. He could have just done 5 years and said, I've done my bit. Praise the Lord. I'm missing. Yes. And go back. But he was thinking beyond that. I still remember when I used to go to see him in Elisha. He would be telling us, you know, and many of our people who were so earthly minded didn't appreciate what Pa Elton was saying. But some of us, you know, like Mary, I say this to the glory of God, by the grace and mercy of God, I didn't throw it away. I pondered these things in my heart. Pa Elton says, I'm coming back. He said, and in the millennial reign, I'm going to be here in Nigeria. I've never forgotten. He said, I don't know what I'm going to be. Maybe I'm going to be president. But he said, because I came here, my inheritance is going to be here. He used to say that to us. He said, come back. He said, he's going to rule in Nigeria. He said, it's going to be one of, because, you know, we shall reign with Christ. Nigeria is going to be there in the millennium. Kenya is going to be there. China is going to be there. Russia is going to be there. And all these countries, America, everything is going to be there. When Jesus comes back, he is going to be supreme commander reigning from Jerusalem. Then he's going to have saints that are going to reign over these different countries during the millennium. And only those with glorified bodies are going to reign. Where are you going to be? Depends on what you're sowing now. That was how real that thing was to SGLT. He said, come back to Nigeria. He'll be telling us. Some people say, Baba, you think that, but he's coming back. He has a grave somewhere in Elisha. You know, they haven't looked after it too well. You know, some of us and some people have decided to, you know, help. But really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you put marble on it, whether you paint it white. On resurrection day, it will open. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And he will have his glorified body. And he'll come back with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, because you obeyed me, you came here in 1934. Here, you're over 5 states. Or you're over whatever. I don't know the details. Maybe even be president. Who knows? Under the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop living for vanity. These things on this earth, they are going to fade away. In closing, I went to console some people, you know, because of some loved one had passed on. And as I was sharing with them, these same things I'm sharing with you, I was sharing somewhere else, the only thing you're going to leave this planet with is the nature and the care of God that you put in your spirit while you were in this physical body. You're not going to live without a car. You're not going to live without a house. You're not going to live without a title. The only thing, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has, but in the nature and the life and the character of God. That's what is inside your spirit. When your spirit leaves this earth and leaves your physical body, either at the rapture or through physical death, whichever, you know, it's going to leave only with what is inside it, what is inside the spirit and what is inside the soul, the character of God that you develop. That's the only thing you're going to take out. It is, you brought nothing into this world and it is shattered. You're not going to take anything out. Live like that, oh. And everything in this life, just use it sparingly. Know where you're going. So on the resurrection day, you know, when your spirit is coming from heaven, you know, your body will rise from the earth. Then it will be transformed. We're going to see that next week on my next lesson. You know, it's going to be transformed and renewed, you know, and glorified. And that's how you're going to be forever. You can't change it. If you want to change it, change it now. Change it now. Let's talk to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Just talk to God. God says it's time to go. Just say, Lord, have mercy. Help me to live in the reality of the resurrection life after this life. Help me, Lord. Let's just pray. We're just going to pray. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for the reality of the resurrection. Lord, help me. Help me to live every day in the consciousness of the fact that one day my body is going to be transformed into a resurrected body. Help me live to get a better resurrection. Oh Lord, help me to prioritize the things of the heavenly far above the things of this earth. Help me not to live as if this earth and this life is the end of everything, but rather to live in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so I may obtain a better resurrection and reign with you in this coming millennial reign. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. For your blood. For your life. For your power. In and upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, insufficient measure, in this regard, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap. Of-